Welcome to episode 96 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today we have an amazing show lined up for you, and by the end of it, you will understand the connection between feeling blue and blues music, be clear about what the expression blue-collar worker means, know why I sometimes need to speak to my kids until I'm blue in the face, and understand why once in a blue moon is the least common adverb of frequency. This podcast helps you push your business English communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone, today we are going to be talking a little bit about a few expressions all related to one particular word, and that word is the word blue. And there is a particular reason that we're going to be talking about this word, because it's kind of how Alistair and I are feeling at the start of this year, our kind of getting back to the routine of working. In English, you can say we are feeling a little bit blue, okay? And that's the first expression that we're going to be talking about, but then we're going to be talking about other expressions, very sort of native expressions that you might hear when native speakers are speaking together, and you might not catch them, you might find it a little bit difficult to understand, and we want to help you so that you can, yeah, pick up on these different kind of interesting expressions that native speakers use. So as usual, Alistair is here with me. Hi, Alistair, how are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you, Daniel. Happy New Year. Good to be back.
Yeah, same to you. So yes, this expression, feeling blue. Are you feeling a little bit blue getting back to work, Alistair?
Yeah, well, we sort of said this expression about the post-holiday blues. So yeah. Blue, to feel blue or to be blue is to be a little bit sad, a little bit depressed. And post-holiday blues is that classic thing of coming back from your summer holidays, or in this case, Christmas holidays, and getting back into the work mode. Can be a little bit, well, it depends, not necessarily, but not feeling very blue, because, you know, I enjoy my job. I love doing this podcast. So, but obviously, it's quite nice being on holiday too. So it's a slight shock to the system when you just have to get back into the routine, no, more than anything.
Absolutely.
But yeah,
absolutely.
So a little bit of post-holiday blues, got a very nice couple of weeks off, relaxing, waking up late, etc.
That's right.
No commitments. Right. And today, Monday, well, they'll talk about the Monday blues as well, no?
They do, that's right.
Well, there's a very famous song by a group called New Order from the 80s that a lot of people may know, called Blue Monday.
And the
reason, now, a lot of people may have heard that song and know the title, but perhaps never understood, you know, why is it called Blue Monday? Well, the reason it's called Blue Monday is because typically Monday, back to work after the weekend, people feel a little bit blue. So a little bit sad, a little bit depressed. So that is the origin of that particular song title, Blue Monday.
Yeah, which is completely different to Friday, right?
It's the opposite,
Everybody
thank
loves
thank
Friday.
Thank God it's Friday, no?
That's right.
And the stronger expressions we won't go into. But
there are stronger versions of that one as well. But feeling blue, which is kind of interesting. And we were talking about this, like, obviously blue is going to be the main theme running through all of these different expressions.
Which kind of with blue,
That's
and
right.
And colours in general. I think we did a previous episode based on colours. That there are a lot of expressions in English based on colours. So we probably mentioned one with blue that we'll come to, but we're going to do a few more today, just specifically with one colour today, which is blue.
That's right. And of course, there's also a type of music, isn't there, which is kind of very interesting. And kind of like you're feeling blue, right, obviously means you're kind of feeling not great, you're feeling not that fantastic, or maybe you just need a little bit more motivation. You need to get used to things. You need to get into the new routine, right? But jazz music has one element of jazz music, really, is related or is described as the blues, right?
The blues. And we're saying about, you know, the classic chicken and egg problem. Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Which is the same in Spanish. And I have no idea. I mean, no doubt you go into internet, you can find an answer to this. So blues music, the blues, is this music comes from sort of the southern states of USA from black people back in the 20s, 30s. I'm not quite sure exactly when it began, but...
Yeah.
And it tends to be a very sad... If you listen to the lyrics, what they're singing about is obviously they were not living in great conditions and suffering a lot of, you know, prejudice and racism. And so it's people basically singing about their bad situation. So a lot of blues music, when you listen to the words, is all about, you know, oh, my life is terrible and my wife's left me and I haven't got a job. And it's all quite sad and depressing. Now, whether the expression to feel blue, meaning sad or depressed, comes from the fact that blues music is based on that sort of depressing kind of content, or the other way round. So I don't know which came first, you know, the blues music or the expression to feel blue.
Absolutely.
No doubt you look in the internet, you'll find the answer if anyone's interested. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but it's a difficult one to know whether the expression came first or whether the actual blues music
or the
came
music
first.
Came first.
No idea. I do actually like sad music. It's kind of like, I think I've taken that from my dad, actually. Like, the sadder the music is, actually, I quite like it. I don't know. I like jolly music, I don't, it's not really my thing.
No, me too.
But
well, I think
the
a lot of people...
Blues music, blues I do or, like. Yeah.
It's it's strange. Blue music can actually have the opposite effect.
that's right. Yeah, you feel as if you're not as in a bad a situation
as
the
other person.
Yeah,
maybe feel better than, like, not as bad as them, so I'm okay. Yeah. I mean, often you don't actually listen particularly to the words. You just, you know, you like the music and the rhythm.
That's right.
But if you actually listen to the lyrics of most old original blues music, it is fairly depressing content. Hence, you know, the idea of blue feeling meaning sad or depressed.
Lots of Spanish speakers get that incorrect when they talk about the words or the lyrics, right? They often say the letters.
Because the letra, no? So letters. Yeah, no, it's... Yeah. You can say words or lyrics.
You can.
So the words of a song are technically is lyrics, not because letters are letters of the alphabet, no, A, B, C.
Yeah.
We don't use that for the words of a song.
Or a letter in the post.
Or a physical letter, yes.
The funny thing was, recently my son came home and said to me, oh, you know, my school has given us a project and we have to send a letter.
Oh, my God. This is like
it's like as if, you know, it's like, and he said, we need to get a stamp. Where do we get those from?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I suppose, yes, now, you know, young people have no concept of letters, really, or sending
letters. That's right.
The days you had to actually write on a piece of paper and then put it in an envelope and go to the post office, buy a stamp, put a stamp, and then post it in the postbox or the mailbox. And this is
crazy.
A whole concept that, anyone under 30, I suppose, or... Especially under 20, kid would have no concept,
20,
absolutely no concept of this idea.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. So
in England, in my previous job when I wasn't a teacher, so before 97, okay, it's a long time ago, but, you know, not that long ago. Well, it was another century, I suppose. But, you know, in my office I was working in, I was still writing physical letters. So, you know, I'd write letters to my clients, whatever you want to call them, and you know, sitting there with a pen and paper, writing, like, giving them to a secretary, a typist, a job that doesn't exist anymore, with a typewriter, electric typewriter, but not a computer, and this is 96. They did exist then, but our office, you know, we didn't have them.
That's right.
So, you know, I was still writing physical letters, giving them to somebody to type, and then, you know, posting them at the end of the day. You'd have all these letters piled up and the typist would take them and post them to them. And then you'd have to wait, you know, a week, well, whatever, several days for the reply.
Yeah, of course.
So it seems like sort of something medieval now, no? Or
it
prehistoric.
Does. It does.
Hard to believe that I was still working that way relatively recently. Well, 25 years ago, but, you know.
That's right.
Not 100 years ago.
Yeah, good. Anyway, we've digressed slightly.
We have,
there.
Yes.
So we'll go back to feeling blue a little bit. Not that we really want to feel blue, but that's the expression that we were looking at. Feeling just a little bit, you know, we need to get back into the rhythm. We need to get, many people, I'm sure, many people who are listening to us after all the excitement of Reyes and everything else and all the
And your kids
festivities.
Might be feeling a little bit blue because, of course, they're back to school today.
Well, that's true.
Or
that's
maybe
true.
Not. Maybe they love school and are very happy to go back. I don't know. Depends.
Well, luckily they are. They're not too bad.
They're not too
bad.
Not feeling too blue then.
No, they're all right. Good. So the second expression, we have five today. So that was the first one, a feeling blue, which is kind of just a very general one, right? Which you could, you know, somebody could describe themselves as, I'm feeling a little bit blue today. The second one is out of the blue. Now, this is something that we may have mentioned in a previous episode of the podcast, right?
I think we're just
going to touch on it quickly. I do have an example sentence here, actually, which is his job offer came out of the blue and it was a pleasant surprise. So that's something, obviously, that can happen to you sometimes. And even, obviously, this can happen to many people because you can be sort of headhunted, can't you? That's kind of a good expression.
A headhunter. Yeah, there are headhunters, aren't they?
Yeah.
Especially now with internet, with LinkedIn, not LinkedIn, as I always say. They just go through and they find people they're looking for with a certain profile, and you might suddenly just get a phone call out of the blue or an email out of the blue saying, hey, do you want to come and work for this company? So something that is a unexpected. No? When something is a surprise, it happens unexpectedly, it happens out of the blue.
Yeah.
I imagine the idea, I don't know, is the blue is the sky. So it's like just
falling
out of the sky from nowhere is the image that it gives me in my mind. But I don't know if that's often right. These expressions, right. You know, we don't know exactly where they came from originally.
No, the origin
of them.
Yeah.
The
funny thing about these expressions is that how similar they can be also in a foreign language. And then you do really wonder if it's so similar. Not all of them are similar, right? And the ones that we're looking at today might not be similar. But there are so many expressions that are similar in English and Spanish. And you think, so where are what's the origin of that particular expression, considering that it is very similar in Spanish and English? It's kind of really fascinating to think about how such a similar expression could evolve in what are two languages that are quite different, let's say. So it's kind of really very fascinating. But yeah, out of the blue. I think
it's a nice one. It's a nice expression, out of the blue.
So out of the blue.
So it could be things like some person you went to school with who you haven't seen for 30, 40 years suddenly contacts you through Facebook, for example, you know, out of the blue. So you're just totally not expecting it. And you say, my God, I haven't seen this person for years. So those kind of things, you know, is out of the blue. As you say, an unexpected job offer. Well, anything really can happen out of the blue.
Absolutely.
But you're just not expecting it.
Yeah. Good. The third one's really interesting because it's actually one that I get even a little bit confused myself. But I think if you have a good image in your mind, you probably can remember it quite well. The expression here is blue collar. Okay. Blue collar. Now, blue collar is interesting because obviously that word, the second word, collar, might be difficult for our listeners, right? Collar.
It's the part of the shirt that goes round your neck.
That's right.
So that part that on your neck of a shirt is the collar. And you've got blue collar. So obviously a blue collar is you're wearing a blue shirt that has a blue collar.
That's right.
And the opposite of that, is a white collar. So you've got two kinds of workers, blue collar workers and white collar workers, which basically indicates the colour of the shirt that they wear. That's the meaning of it.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's important to say, actually, because when we say blue collar and white collar, most of the time you always have to have worker related to it, right? It's like blue collar worker or white collar worker, right? Most of the time. I mean, the example sentence that I have here is his family has a long history of blue collar workers in the manufacturing sector. Okay. So blue collar workers, kind of there is physical work, right?
Yeah, manual work.
Work, factory work,
this kind of thing is blue collar.
Yeah.
Yeah, often it's difficult to remember which is which, as you said.
That's where I get confused. I mean,
sometimes native speakers also forget which one is which. So the blue collar is the manual worker, like a factory worker. And the white collar is the, what would you call it? Managerial, administrative, intellectual work.
More like an office worker, right?
Yeah, office worker, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I suppose manual worker, office worker would be, you know, the equivalents, the same thing.
Yeah. And I think a good way to remember it is that blue collar, obviously the dark blue shirt is much less likely to see any dirt or stains on it.
Yeah, I'd never really thought that could be the origin. You know, your manual work, you're more likely to get your shirt dirty, you know, doing physical work.
Yeah, but if it's dark blue, Yeah, dark blue. You're not going to see that very much.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. But you're sitting in a nice, comfortable office these days at a computer, then yes, you're less likely to get dirty. So white shirt's okay. Yeah, I imagine that's probably where it comes from, in fact.
Probably. Yeah.
So originally this comes from the United States, apparently, and they used to classify people literally back in, I don't know when this would be, the early part of the 20th century, 40s, 50s, 60s maybe. Yeah. Literally people who worked. So if you take a factory, the people working on what we call the shop floor, strange expression because it's not a shop, but the shop floor is the actual where they're working with the machines, on the production line.
Yeah.
And they're manual workers and they wore blue shirts, maybe for the reason you said, because of, the dirt.
Yeah.
Probably, in fact. And then the people upstairs in the offices, so the bosses, the managers, working in the administrative part of the factory, not using their hands to work, using their brains, you could say.
Yeah.
They wore white shirts, and hence that's where you got this differentiation between, blue collar worker. I don't know why it's collar and not shirt, but anyway, blue collar worker is a manual worker, and the white collar is the sort of office worker, administrative.
Yeah.
The bosses or whatever, the managers, etc. Now, of course, these days, what shirt you wear is completely irrelevant, and people will wear whatever they want to work.
Of course, absolutely.
And people maybe when you're working wearing white and the opposite. So the actual physical shirt or the color of the collar is now completely irrelevant. It's just, but the expression has continued as an expression.
Yeah.
So, you know, you refer to blue collar workers, they're not necessarily wearing blue at all. It just means manual workers, basically. No?
Yeah. You used a very interesting word there, which is hence.
Oh, yes, that's a good word, no?
So. It's a good word. It's kind of an interesting word. I think I use it from time to time, but I think it's worth just touching on a little bit there because I can actually remember the day that I learned that word, hence. It was like from a teacher who I was a physics teacher at school, and he always used the word hence, and I never understood. Well, no, I understood it when he used it.
Yeah, from the context.
But I hadn't come across it until that moment. And he was always, talking about physics and the like different types of, impact. Something impacts something else, and hence this happens, right? And I think it's an interesting word because it's kind of a little bit old fashioned, isn't it? But it's
sort of formal,
but it's useful
word,
as well. Formal.
So I suppose, often when you're explaining processes or when you said science or physics, it doesn't have to be that. I suppose it's a sort of formal way of saying so, no?
Yes. Yeah, or so, therefore.
Or therefore, yeah.
Yeah.
So therefore, which are very common. Hence is not that common, but I just used it then. I wasn't thinking about it. So
Exactly.
It is a word that people do use.
Yeah,
but not as commonly as so or therefore. Yes.
Yeah. So, but for me, that is a very distinctive word because it's probably in many cases you can't remember exactly when you learn one particular word, right? In many cases, we learn them But for that particular word, I can remember the moment that I learnt it.
That's interesting. Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean,
It is a word that you wouldn't use as kids or teenagers because it's
advanced. That's right.
So it's something you would pick up, later at university or work or from reading.
Yeah.
I probably got it from, reading newspapers or maybe university. So it's a word you probably wouldn't use, as you said, till later in life when you got a sort of better command of your own language from studying and working and reading. No? But you wouldn't expect a sort of 14-year-old to say hence, no?
No.
Or a 10-year-old or... So it's sort of high level word. So
it is a high level word. And of course then once I did learn it, I started to use it in my physics homework.
Essays. Typical word you're writing essays at school or university, when you have to write compositions.
Yeah.
And you want to sound, obviously you're writing quite a formal style and trying sound, quite, I don't know, intellectual, whatever.
That's right. That's
and it's
right,
the kind of word get that in there, it's gonna impress the teacher. The professor.
That's right. And that's a little bit what Business English is about as well, isn't it? It's kind of a little bit like that because in a way, most of the time in business, you're trying to sell something or impress somebody or do some, not necessarily, but most of the time it can be a little bit like that.
No? And give a professional image of yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, words are part of that, right? And
of course.
Whether it's in written form or whether it's in verbal form, so... So,
As a non-native speaker, to be able to use that word hence would be, quite impressive.
Impressive. Right? It would be very impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't just think like any of my clients have ever heard them use that word. if someone said, you go, oh, that's good. Your English is very good to know that word that and is use impressive. It correctly.
Yeah.
Hence.
Yeah. Yeah. But just like I would be impressed by anybody using any of these expressions that we're talking about today, right? Feeling blue, out of the blue, blue collar, white collar, you know, all of them are kind of like, it's a range, right? You're talking about a range of vocabulary that would impress us as teachers, right?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, good. So next we should have another one, I think.
We have two more. The next one is blue in the face. Okay. Yes. Now, I think we might have spoken about this before, blue in the face.
I don't think so. I'm not sure. It's hard to remember now. We have so many episodes, but I don't think
so. We do. Mm. What does this mean, Alistair, this one in particular? Most of the time, it's a sort of frustration, right? It's kind of
I suppose you could sort of, some of these things you can, you know, think of an image in your mind to remember it. So you imagine somebody's like getting incredibly frustrated trying to explain something to someone. You have to keep repeating what you're saying and they're not understanding you. So you're getting sort of angry. Well, not necessarily angry, but definitely frustrated and maybe a little bit angry. And you could sort of see someone going blue in the face as you're, like if people don't, if you're not breathing, if you can't breathe, you go blue, you know, you start changing color, no? When you're asphyxiated. So that's a sort of image of somebody going blue in the face from trying to explain something, getting more and more frustrated because the person you're explaining it to is just not understanding you. You're going blue in the face with frustration, trying to explain something is the, and you could sort of picture that image, you know, of somebody in that state.
Absolutely.
Well, it could be red. Maybe you might think red in the face might make more sense.
Well, it's true.
But anyway, yes, blue in the face is more because we're not being able to breathe. No, I think.
That's right. I've got an example sentence here, which is, I've tried explaining the concept to him until I'm blue in the face, but he just doesn't get it. And this kind of reminds me of when I have to remind my kids. Well, I think one of my kids, I have to remind him about his slippers, and the other one, I have to remind her about her putting her socks on because she doesn't have. So I can basically tell them till I'm blue in the face to put their slippers on, to put their socks on. But it's like, it's just like almost.
It's like talking to a brick wall. That's
yeah.
expression.
Yeah.
So absolutely. A brick wall is obviously a wall made of brick that doesn't answer, doesn't respond to you, and doesn't understand what you're saying because it's a brick wall. So when you say, it's like talking to a brick wall is like, you know,
That's right.
You talk to people, they don't listen to you or they don't understand what you're saying. So it's a similar.
That's right.
Until you're blue in the. So you repeat this thing again and again, but they just ignore you and they carry on not doing what you ask them to do.
Exactly. Yeah.
Slippers is a good word. Not all the listeners may know. So zapatillas de casa, no? So the sort of nice, comfortable things you wear on your feet to keep your feet warm, especially in winter. In the house, instead of wearing your normal shoes, are called slippers. Yeah. Slippers.
Yeah. That's right. Slippers. Absolutely. Yeah. Good. Yeah. So there you go. Blue in the face. A nice one. Certainly when you're getting a bit frustrated or you need to explain something to somebody and they just don't kind of get it. And it takes much too much time to really explain it. Or they don't act on it, just like my children, right? I have to say that they're normally absolutely fine. But I think in that particular thing, the slippers and the socks, they are. I get a bit frustrated. Yeah.
Well, I think
and the last one
used quite a lot
we
with,
have.
I think it's an expression used
go
quite
on,
a
go
lot
ahead.
With kids, no?
Yeah.
Because often you explain things to children and they just don't really listen or take any notice or just carry on doing what they're doing. So you often say, I have to explain to my kids that I'm blue in the face not to do this or to do that. And they just ignore me.
That's
so
right.
It's quite a common one.
It's true. And the last one that we've got is a blue moon. Now, here we actually, you can't just say a blue moon, right? The actual idea or concept here is a rare event or occurrence. If I can give an example sentence would be, we only see a blue moon once in a while, and this is a sale as rare as a blue moon. Now, I would probably say once in a blue moon is probably my favorite way of saying it. I go to something once in a blue moon or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's the way. Yeah. Something happens once in the blue moon, meaning almost never, very, very rarely. Presumably because the blue moon. Now, I don't know if a moon looking blue is something that really exists, that maybe in certain, I don't know, atmospheric conditions or time of the year, the moon may appear blue. I've never personally seen a blue moon, so I've no idea if it's real or it just doesn't exist. But obviously what it's saying is it's some event that is incredibly rare, doesn't happen very often, or maybe in reality it never happens. Have you ever seen a blue moon, Daniel?
I haven't ever seen a blue moon, no.
So maybe it doesn't actually occur at all. It's just
I don't know. I mean,
it's an expression.
Yeah, it's an expression. Who knows? Maybe there does exist from time to time. And we need to look this up. We need to see whether that this actually does exist and whether it does actually originate from the whole idea of a blue moon. But before we were started recording, we actually kind of mentioned about things that it's kind of literally a little bit like adverbs of frequency. I can remember when I was learning how to teach English, and kind of one of the things that you learn at that particular moment is called the adverbs of frequency, going from something that's very rare to something that's very common, right? And this clearly blue moon would be almost close to never. Right, clearly.
Yeah, I think it would be never, and the next level up of frequency would be once in a blue moon. So
that's right.
Not very often at all. So very rare event.
Yeah, and then maybe you could have rarely as well.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, very, very rarely.
Yeah, very rarely. Rarely.
Rarely. Not very often. Right. Sometimes, often. And then obviously, there's like a scale that you go up till you get to always, no? So I suppose always and never are the two opposites of the scale, of frequency. And then you have all these sort of words like often, not very often, sometimes, now and again, that determine the frequency that is more or less. So, once in a blue moon is very infrequently. Well, absolutely. So it's like very rarely. So I suppose the next one is, never.
Exactly.
I suppose it's a bit like when pig expression we have mentioned before, I think, is when pigs fly. No, what was the other one? Pie in the sky. We mentioned we did a whole episode on pies. If you remember,
that's true.
So it's like something that in this case just doesn't exist at all.
So it means
this thing is very, very rare. Now the blue moon, I don't know. Maybe you can see a moon that looks blue with certain atmospheric conditions, but something our listeners would have to look up in internet and see. Does this actually exist or not? But anyway, the expression means very, very rare event.
Exactly. Mm. And we were trying to think about what we do kind of once in a blue moon, right? And we came up with two ideas. One was that I very rarely go to concerts, so probably I could say that I go to a concert once in a blue moon, but I go more frequently to musicals because my kids love musicals. That was the opposite way around, right?
Totally the opposite. I don't go to many concerts, but I go, I don't know, let's say an average once every year and a half, so not exactly super regularly or super often, but I wouldn't say once in a blue moon. Because if you go into a concert, let's say once a year, once every year and a half, that is too much frequency to say once in a blue moon. So, whereas me, in my case, is the opposite. Yes, so I go to the musical or the theatre in general once in a blue moon. Yeah. So very rarely. In fact, I can't remember the last time I went to the theatre. It's probably more than 20 years ago.
Sure.
So maybe in my 26 years in Madrid, I've been to a musical once. And the theatre, I can't even remember, three times?
Yeah.
So it is very rare. In other words, I go to a musical, the theatre, once in a blue moon.
Once in a blue moon, absolutely. Yeah. And I go to a concert once a blue moon. But to be honest, I would like to change that, to be honest. I mean,
me too. I feel I should, so I was saying, should try to go to the theatre more often or...
Yeah, exactly.
But just then never seem to do it. But
that's right. We've got everything on our doorstep, Alistair. You're here in Madrid. And
it's terrible, really, isn't it? It's often the case.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's kind of the human condition, right? If you have it there available to you all the time, then you kind of just really don't take advantage of it, right?
Take it for granted.
You take it for granted.
Going back to a recent episode on. Right. Yeah, it's just, it's there. I can do it anytime. And then you never
That's
do
right. Yeah, exactly. Good. Alistair, thank you very much for that. It was really very, very nice. Let's go through those expressions once again very quickly. First of all was feeling blue, which obviously means a little bit sad. We kind of connected it there to jazz music originating in the United States, which are kind of talks and the lyrics are often quite sad and kind of can make you feel even, well, can make you feel blue if you are listening to that music, but not necessarily.
Blues on music, your mood.
That's right, exactly, yeah. Then number two was out of the blue, which is something surprising, and we were talking about job offers in that particular case. Sometimes you can get a job offer out of the blue. You're not expecting it. Somebody calls you up and they give you a job offer, which can happen. Number three is blue-collar and white-collar workers. So obviously in this case, we're focusing on the blue-collar, which is more related to people who are doing manual work as opposed to the white collar workers who are mostly located sort of more administrative, working in the office sort of profiles. We covered the word hence as well, which was very interesting because Alistair used the word hence, which was like a little bit of a digression, I suppose, but was very useful as well. Number four, we also talked about blue in the face, speaking to somebody till you're blue in the face, which I do sometimes with my children, related to their slippers and their socks. And then number five was adverbs of frequency, which is a blue moon, which is really, really rare, right? Something that you hardly do at all. Now, so those were the five, Alistair. Those were the five.
Yes. So hopefully we're feeling a little less blue now.
No, yeah.
Back into the rhythm.
Absolutely,
absolutely. Routine.
Absolutely. Once you get back into the routine, then it suddenly starts to flow and kind of like you get back into, you know, what you were used to before the holidays, that's for sure.
Yeah, you feel less blue. Yes.
That's right. Good. Alistair, thank you very much for your time once again. Really amazing. Very useful and hopefully very useful for our listeners. And I'll see you again next week.
Yep. See you. A pleasure as always. Cheers.
All right. See you then. Speak soon. Bye.